Taking inventory still here on Locked On Jaguars. We're going to look at the trenches on the offensive side of the ball in just a second on today's episode.
You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm Tony Wiggins, your host of the Locked On Jaguars Daily Podcast, where it's your team every day, and we thank you for making us your first listen. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline is where the game starts. We appreciate you starting here with us every single day on the Locked On Jaguars podcast. It's your team every day, and thank you again for your first listen. Been taking inventory of the Jacksonville Jaguars roster all week on our bye week. So we're doing a little inventory, trying to figure out who we are, where we are, what we got, and who you with, right? Trying to figure that out for since we don't have an opponent this off week to focus on. Looking at what the Jags need to do, sitting at 3-7, and the year is not looking too promising, with the exception now of people just trying to see if they're going to be competitive and Trevor Lawrence is going to continue to build on the success that he's had the last couple of weeks. We took a look at the defensive line the first day, the defensive backs and the backers the next day, and then we sort of wrapped up with the defense. Now we're going to the offensive side of the ball. We're doing the offensive line. There's some real good silver lining here, and I'm going to tell you that first. Normally I say that for segment three. I'm going to give that to you now. The silver lining is they aren't that far off. And what I mean by that, I don't think they have a great player. I think they have a couple of good players and a pretty decent player. And then they have a young guy who's only going to get better as he gets older and gets a little bit stronger. So I'll run that down for you. There's room for a great player to come along and lift everyone up, right? So the floor of the offensive line is higher than it's been in a long time. Now I just think they need that one great player who can lift this unit up. And where they find him, I don't know. I think it's going to have to be a draft pick. They also have something that's a little bit perplexing, and we'll get to that in segment two before we wrap everything up in segment three. All right, so let me give you the silver lining. I think the very, very good players are on the right side in Juwan Taylor and Brandon Sheriff. I'm not as high on Sheriff as everyone else is, and maybe where I am on par with most of the people around the NFL. I think he's a good player. I don't think, as a guy who was a top five pick and a guy who was allowed to get away. Now, granted, Washington also allowed Trent Williams to get away, and Trent Williams is a Hall of Famer. But that has some backstory to it, some injury history, some lack of trust, some misdiagnosis. Had a lot of things going on. But Brandon Sheriff is a former All-Pro, is a good player, probably not as highly regarded around the league as most people believe. The number that they paid for him was not astronomical, so that indicates what his market was. And also, guys like that, 27, 28 years old, they don't get let go. They're not allowed to leave. You're not going to see Zach Martin ever allowed to leave Dallas. You're not going to see Quentin Nelson allowed to leave, at least before they're 32 years old, allowed to leave Indianapolis. Guys like that are just not let go. They play in that first destination for a long time. So that kind of tells you that he's a notch below those guys, although in terms of draft status and in terms of name recognition and the All-Pro label, a lot of people probably thought he was a little bit better. You saw last week against Chris Jones how he was just manhandled. And Chris Jones does that to a lot of people. But Chris Jones probably doesn't do that to Zach Martin. And that's the thing, not all day. So he's not transcendent enough, in my opinion, to lift this line up. He raises the floor of the line, but he doesn't lift this line up to the point where everyone else is allowed to play a little bit above where they're playing. Juwan Taylor's a good player. He came to the league at 20 years old. And when people think that Juwan Taylor is someone that they need to try to upgrade or let go, I laugh because I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You can't. The dude's 24 years old, man. And if you let him hit the free agent market, he might be one of the first people signed on day one, and somebody's going to give him a boatload of money. That's why I wish the Jaguars would have gone out this year, and maybe they tried, I don't know, and went ahead and negotiated early to keep him from getting to the market. And maybe by giving him some bonus money now, you prevent him from, you know, maximizing money-wise. They can still tag him come this season, too. They don't have anybody else to tag because Josh Allen, who we chronicled and talked about on day one, is under the fifth-year option. So they could always just tag Juwan Taylor the same way they did Cam Robinson for two straight years before they extended him. Cam Robinson is the guy who's I don't think he's very good, but I think he's really good. And he's another dude who's big and physical. And at that age, you just don't let guys like that hit the market. But that was the quandary or the conundrum that they had last year was he good enough to extend to big money? They kind of got away with not giving him as big a money. He got a very Deion Dawkins-like contract. He didn't get the 17, 18, 19 Trent Williams-type money. He didn't get the Orlando Brown Zeus money that he's going to want to get. But he did get paid like a dude who was a fringe Pro Bowl type player, maybe not quite a Pro Bowl type, but good enough that you just couldn't get rid of him because you don't have a replacement. Speaking of replacements, we'll talk about Walker Little in segment two. The other offensive lineman is Luke Fortner, young, knows the system, great technique, smart, probably needs to gain a little bit of strength, gets a little bit of functional strength in the offseason, because that's where he's going to have to get it. You don't get stronger during the season because it's all about maintenance during the season. So guys just don't get stronger during the season. But get a little bit better, get a little bit more functional strength, and then he could be the center for this franchise for a decade. Left guard is an issue. Although this past week it didn't look like that while watching the game, but it could have been. This is where I think they could get someone who can be great and it'll lift the entire team. Segment two, we're going to discuss that. We're going to discuss the depth, especially Walker Little and the little bit of a conundrum that the team is in because of where he was picked and what it means moving forward. We'll talk about all of those things here as we continue to take inventory of the Jacksonville Jaguars position by position during their bye week. And we'll do more of that in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. Today's show is brought to you and sponsored by Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts across the US, UK, Canada, and coming soon to Australia. Forget boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo. My buddy James Rapine, when he went to Dallas covering the Bengals and the Cowboys, drove a Tesla and got a chance to see what that was all about. And that's something you might not get at a regular car rental place. Book a spacious SUV or minivan for a family trip. Get a classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, or holiday. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms and conditions and exclusions apply. Forget boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo. That's T-U-R-O. All right, rolling along. Segment two here on Locked On Jaguars. Thank you for joining us and making us your first listen, because it's your team every day. Walker Little, second round pick last year in the same draft as Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, Tyson Campbell, Andre Sisco. You're going like, wow, man, that's four really, really good players, right? That's four of the probably seven best players on your team, and it might be four of the top six players on your team. So that's a pretty good draft. It is. But here's the problem. If you have Cam Robinson under contract for another 3 years, if you re-sign Juwan Taylor for another 3 or 4 years, and Walker Little's in his second year of a four-year deal, he's your swing tackle. If your guy stay healthy, he never plays because he can't play guard. What do you do? I thought they should have tried to entertain a trade. They thought otherwise. They're stuck with a, and it's a luxury to have if you're already winning, but you're not winning. How can you have a second round pick sitting over on the pine waiting for time if you're not winning? Are you waiting for an injury to happen? Does this mean they won't entertain re-signing Juwan Taylor because they're just going to develop and hope that Walker Little is the answer at right tackle? And instead of Juwan, and then if they do that, they're losing a 330-pound 24-year-old without getting anything in return. Do they tag him and try to trade him and then elevate Walker Little? All of those things are options, but they're not definitive. And when you're a losing team, you have to at some point have answers and have definitive answers. And right now, they don't have them. Behind him, they don't have a lot of depth. Cole Van Lannen, who they traded a conditional draft pick for, is okay. Ben Bartsch was playing better until he got hurt. You wanted to see him continue to develop, but he's going to miss the rest of the season. That doesn't bode well for the Jaguars. That doesn't bode well for the Jaguars because now he's going to spend all his time rehabbing instead of actually improving. The good thing is you still have him under contract for at least another season and you don't have a chance to make a decision. But are any of these guys good enough for you to not go out and try to upgrade? I don't think they are. I think they need an absolute superstar at that position. Find, and I hate the word find when it comes to talking about accruing talent because it's almost like you got one of those metal detectors at the beach and you hope to run up on it instead of depending on real, true, hardcore NFL evaluation. But I don't think they're going to use a first-round pick, but a second or a third-round pick, sure, especially in that second round. If there's somebody that slips out of that first round and he's hanging up there in that second round and you can get him this year, and I haven't really looked at the offensive lineman in the draft, but get you a big physical. I love Osiris Torrance out of Florida. 6'6", 335, can play guard positions, can be a mauler. I don't know if he slides to the top of the second round, but if he does, a guy like that is a candidate to come in here and eventually develop himself to be great. And if he is, man, that lifts up the – you're not talking about the floor of the offensive line anymore. You're talking about the roof and the ceiling, and that one guy could make that unit so much better. And then you go Cam Robinson, maybe a guy like – let's just say a guy like Osiris Torrance, Cam Robinson, a guy like that, a better Luke Fortner, a veteran in Brandon Sheriff, and then you still have Juwan Taylor. If I'm the Jaguars, I also look at all of the plethora of fifth and sixth round picks they have. I draft two more young offensive linemen and start developing them right now. So why would I do that? That's because 3 years down the road, you may have guys that you plug and play the way the Green Bay Packers always seem to have guys they plug and play. Like the Dallas Cowboys always have guys they seem to plug and play, and they are never desperate and in a situation where they don't have great offensive line play. Just got to take a cue from teams like Kansas City that seems like they always find a way to find people who know how to play because they're really, really good at talent evaluation. So, in a nutshell, I think they need a superstar at that position, all right? They need to continue to develop Luke Fortner. They need to figure out what they're going to do with Walker Little. You can't have a guy who was a second-round pick be your swing offensive tackle and keeping him around just as a contingency when that would mean one of your two guys would have to be hurt or get injured for him to play. That's an asset that you can use to get something else at other positions. You don't have the luxury of allocating all of those assets at for people that won't play, for people that are just depth guys. You should not have a dude, if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars and one of the worst teams in the league, you should not have a second-round pick in his second year sitting on the bench. You just don't have the luxury to do that. All right, what we're going to do is, in the third and final segment, we're going to wrap everything up with a put a nice little bow on everything as we wrap every single thing that we're talking about with this offensive line. And I'm going to give you a little bit of what I think is a future prognosis and what we can see as the year comes to, as we get to the last six or seven games, what we hope to see and some of the things that we believe we can see that will help us determine if the Jaguars need to make major, major moves on the offensive line or not. We'll do that in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. But today's show is sponsored and brought to you by LinkedIn. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. I often talk about how my daughter, Nia, put her name in LinkedIn before she got off active duty. Well, my son did the same thing about 4 or 5 years prior to that. He put his name on LinkedIn, hooked him up with a company that he has been with now for about 6 years because that company had their information on LinkedIn, and the recruiters and the people at LinkedIn were able to source him right to the right people because all the questions that they had, all the job descriptions that they had matched his resume and his profile. What you need to do is add your job, if you're a small business, to LinkedIn and place the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and to hire. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find qualified candidates that you want to talk to, and they do it really, really fast. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNFL. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. Today's show is also sponsored by Bet Online, which is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer and esports. We've got it all at betonline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. The Nets went on a winning streak when they named Jacques Vaughn the coach, and now they're on a losing streak, and they got absolutely hammered in Sacramento. Find out the latest with what's going on with Brooklyn as well as everyone else at betonline.net, because they're the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more, because BetOnline is where the game starts. And you start here with me every single day on Locked On Jaguars, making us your first listen, and we are very grateful for you doing that and trusting us, because it's your team every day. All right, let's put this thing in a nutshell. What do the Jaguars need to do? First of all, they need to use the last seven games of the year to really, really evaluate who they are and where they are and what they have on the offensive line. I think if Juwan Taylor continues to play well, I say you approach him right now and get him to sign to a contract extension. I think you also give Walker Little a chance to get out there and get greased up and play in some of these games. I know it's not your objective. You're trying to win every single game, but there has to be some spots, especially if you can get at least one of these games to be a blowout, where you get that young man on the field at least to show what he can do. Get some good tape on him, show what he can do for an extended period of time. They really have to use this time to really, really evaluate where he is, because that's going to determine – it may determine what they do with Juwan Taylor, and it's also possible it determines what they're able to do with him in the offseason and whether he's going to be anything more than a swing tackle. A lot of people believe you have to keep him because injuries happen in the NFL, and what if an injury happens, and then you can bring him in. But if he's that good, he's still under a rookie deal, you might want to hold on to him until at least somewhere at the midpoint of that third season and not just go ahead and trade him now. I just think if you move him now, he has 2 full years left under his rookie deal, which means that fetches you more of a return back when you think about what you're trying to get for him. Keep the development of Luke Fortner. Evaluate and do the best you can to get the right fit at left guard. I don't know if they can go and touch into free agency, because then they'd only have one guy under a rookie contract. And I think that's counterintuitive to what we talk about with the balance with the cap and the way the allocation of the funds and the resources go. So I don't think they can do that. So this wasn't as much, even though over the last 4 years, I've been one of those people saying about the offensive line that we need more. I think most people would have thought that I was going to go in on them and say that they weren't adequate. I don't think they're one of the top half offensive line. I don't think they're in the top 16 or in the top half of the NFL, but I do think there's stuff to work with. And I think they have a good coach. And I do believe that they have a good scheme. And I know, I think they do a real good job, like they did with Luke Fulton, of matching scheme and player together. I just think they need more. I think they need to find a guy or get a guy who's going to be their best lineman at left guard. If you got to do it in free agency, do it. But I don't think that's the place to go. I think you have to trust your evaluation process. And there are a lot of linemen that come right into the league and know how to play. They just played the Chiefs this past week, and the Chiefs have two guys in their second year who are already good at the end of their first year. So it is highly possible for teams to go out and find linemen in the draft that can come in and start dominating and start playing well right away. The Chargers have a guy in Jamari Sawyer who has been playing left tackle all year because of injuries, who can play left guard, and he should have been picked way before he was, and he wasn't. He came from Georgia, where he started all of these games and was a part of a really, really good team, and people probably wish not they had taken it. A dude like that can come in and really, really help you. I think they need to really do a good job of scouting the Senior Bowl and really do a good job of evaluating the guys who aren't at the Senior Bowl and make sure at the top of that second round you get a guy who's ready to go, instead of like a guy like Walker Little, who was coming off of 2 years of not playing and you only use his traits to draft him for his potential. I think that was a big no-no and a big mistake. They're not that far away, but they do have to get better. And remember, they're protecting their assets and their skill position players, mainly Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback. All right, we're going to look at those skill position players Thursday, and then on Friday, since we don't have a crossover, we'll do the skill position players, running backs and receivers. And then Friday, we're going to do it, make it all about the quarterback, and we're going to talk about his relationship with the coaches and what that means for the future and how you evaluate them down the stretch. Until tomorrow, you guys make sure you take care of each other, like I always say, and make sure you make your second listen Locked On Sports Today. I was on Locked On Sports Today yesterday, so look Locked On Sports Today up wherever you get your podcast, on the Odyssey app, and wherever you get your podcast, Locked On Sports Today. Make sure you check that out as well. Take care of each other. We'll see you tomorrow here on Locked On Jaguars.